This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. 2 weeks till Christmas, so can't believe it's coming up so soon. So without further ado, let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to worship in your house today. We know you are the ultimate healer and creator of all things, and that your word is eternal. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of your Son, please open our hearts and minds to your word so that we can remember why you sent him to earth. For we ask this in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hang in there. You got it. Jesus said, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them.
Isaiah chapter 35, 1 through 10. The wilderness and solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. In the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And highway shall be there, in a way shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow, sighing shall flee away. Second reading is from Luke 1 through 46. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden. For behold, from hence all generations shall be called blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generations to generations. He has shrewd through strength with his arm. He has scattered proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Third reading, Matthew 11, 2 through 11. Now when John has heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, art thou that shalt come to do, we look for another. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and shew John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whoever shall be not offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto multitude concerning John, what ye went out to see, a reed shaken with the when, but what ye out want to see, a man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, that they were soft clothing or king's houses. But what ye went out to see, and a prophet, yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For that he is of whom written before, I send my messenger before thy face, which thou shalt prepare the way before. Verily I say unto you, among men are born of women, has not risen greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he is at least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Are you the Messiah? John the Baptist asked Jesus in Matthew 11. Jesus answered by instructing them to look around and see the miracles he has performed. What are you longing for? Look around. Where do you see the Messiah working in your life? Have you been touched by the blessings and filled with the joy of his week? Let us pray. God of joy, in you we encounter healing, holiness, restoration, and new life. Teach us to recognize your work around us and proclaim with joy, yes, Jesus is the one. Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Even though it's cloudy and gloomy and rainy, we should rejoice and be glad in the day that the Lord has made. Don't have much in the way of announcements here this morning. Want to call your attention to two things. First of all, check your mailbox as you go out today. It's filling up, and you may well have a Christmas greeting or a New Year's greeting or a birthday greeting or whatever in the mailbox. Please check your mailbox. And Christmas Day is, of course, Sunday, the 25th. We'll be here at 11 o'clock on the closing hymn as we close our service on Sunday. Our tradition here at Zion is a Christ birthday offering. And that offering goes into the benevolent fund that supplies gas, power bills, phone bills, whatever, for people in need. And this year is no different. The Christ birthday offering will go to the benevolent fund. So on the as we're singing our closing hymn, bring your Christ birthday offering and place it in the manger here under the tree. Okay, I've got a thank you note to read here. It says, George and I thank all of our friends and our church for your help. We did not expect this, and we feel blessed and so thankful. You made it possible to get us plenty of food to get us by for some time. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We love you all. This is from George and Terry Davanellos. Some of you know this, some of you, most of you don't, but a day after George and Terry were here on Sunday, what was 2 weeks ago? Anyway, I got a call from Terry and said that George had lost his wallet. And she had to go about canceling all his credit cards, and his driver's license was gone. She had to reapply for that. And about a week later, she called me and said, praise God, George found his wallet. He'd taken it out of his pocket and put it somewhere that he does not normally put it. But she was just almost giddy at the fact that George had found his wallet. She said, but I still canceled all those cards. And she said, well, they're going to send me new cards in 7 to 10 days. So, you know, we'll have to wait on those. But anyway, he had placed his wallet somewhere where he'd hung up his coat and near a file that he kept a lot of his Greek papers in. And he was going to look for a Greek phone number so he could call and get some type of card renewed from Greece. And that's when he found his wallet. It was on top of a chest of drawers or something of those. Someplace that he normally does not put it, but he did find it. Okay, just thought, isn't God good? God is so good. Anything, anybody else have anything they want to share with us before we turn our attention to our prayer corner? Right, that's right there in your bulletin. Christmas Eve service at Bollinger's Chapel at 4:30 p.m. That is a communion service. And we will try to be there and take communion on a most holy Christmas Eve. Okay. Anything else before we turn our attention to our prayer corner? If not, let's do now turn our attention to our prayer corner. And I'm going to add in here Doris and Steve Pickard. Now, our pastor and his wife should be on our prayers anyway, that we shouldn't normally have to put them on a prayer list. But there's something going on here, and Steve will share what that is. And I'll be adding Doris and Steve Pickard to our prayer list. Are there others that we need to add to our prayer list this morning? Lynn?
My daughter Julie is married to Robbie Williams.
Yeah.
And Robbie lost his aunt, Vicky Harris. And then Saturday morning, early in the morning, he lost his mother, Barbara Williams, and their sisters. So the funeral for Vicky's today, the funeral for Barbara's.
Wow. So we need to add the Bliss family to our prayer list this morning. Okay. Where they're facing the passing of loved ones. Okay. Are there others this morning? Yeah.
Just an update on my dad, Keith Palmer. Steve and Doris have been very, very kind and gracious to invite them up to the mountains this week. So, and we think this is going to be really good for my dad. In the house except sit on the couch and watch TV. So please pray that while he's up there, it'll help rejuvenate his spirit and help him, give him some hope, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Keith Palmer is on your prayer list, and underline his name and remember him especially this week in your prayers. Anything else? Steve?
If you notice me doing this to Doris, it's because when Jerry mentioned about George losing his wallet because he put it somewhere we shouldn't have, and she started doing this. But you can ignore that. This is a special time of year. I think the world stops to take a breath and to reflect and to remember what this world should be all about. And I love, as I shared before you, I love getting lost in the crowd, in the bright lights, in the city streets, and people shopping and here and there. And we went to Kohl's the other day, and I got caught up in all these crazy people shopping, and I went to the little area, and they had these little push button things, and I pushed them all. They're all doing different things, and you know, I don't know why I do that. I just love doing it. But yeah, Clara, did you do that too? You do that too? See, I'm the only one. But it's a time where we want to remember that we have a God that loves us so much that he sent his son into this world, which we celebrate every December 25th, and 33 years later, he paid the ultimate price, that cross, for you and me. And he calls it grace. And whatever this world can hand out to us or deliver to us, and whatever chaos it can deliver or bad news that we got this week, we know that ultimately God is in charge. He is the one we look to for our faith and for our strength, and things we will endure. But we got a notice the other day, a call in from a doctor's office about a biopsy Doris had. And we went there and only to hear that Doris has breast cancer. And we're getting ready to head down that road and endure whatever we have to fight against. She'll probably have a procedure this week. We are, as I told Jerry, we will not be up here any Fridays for the next 6 weeks until the end of January until we get a handle on this. And so we covet your prayers and your thoughts, and we deeply appreciate your support as we travel this road together. But we know that we look to the great healer, and that is who we're going to go to in prayer at this time. So would you bow with me as we pray to our Christ? Father, this is a very special time of year where there's hope for the world, and you remind us just how special we are. And this time of year when people are laughing and spending time together and children are giggling and looking towards Christmas and Santa and the gifts that we find under the tree and the decoration and the eggnog and all those special things that make up this very, very sacred and happy season. I wish, Father, we could grab a hold of this spirit of yours that you've given us at this time of year and carry it throughout the world and throughout each and every month. But we get caught up in the chaos and the tragedy and the politics, the diseases, and so many things to distract us away from you. But Father, we pray that this season, that today, that we will always be reminded of that empty manger that went to the cross and rose victorious on that Easter morning, knowing there was a plan that you had in place for all of us. And you did it for one reason, because you love us. So Father, as we face the day-to-day trials, as we endure the things this old world will dish out from time to time, help us to rise above the clouds of darkness and look to you, just like the shepherds did on that night when the angels sang, praising you that you have given the world your Son. May we hold fast to that truth, Lord, and always remember those sacred words that you taught us 2,000 years ago when we look to you for guidance and for prayer, and we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We're going to sing number 219, What Child Is This? All three verses, if you'll stand with me as we sing.
What child is this who's laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whose angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies in tears in such mean a state, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant king to own. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Let us now share in the Apostles' Creed. I
believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Anticipation. You remember that day when you were 16 years old? Way back when. and you were getting ready to go to the DMV and take your driver's test, which you'll probably ace it. But then they have something called the road test. Well, that's not that difficult. But when they bring that sucker up, this parallel parking, that's a whole different world. Well, I looked with anticipation to go get my license when I was 16. And I had a friend of mine, still have a friend of mine, who was going to pick me up. He was 22. His name was Don. And I asked him to bring me his Comet. Now, if you remember a Comet, it's about a car about this long. And you can maneuver that baby into anywhere. And I practiced parallel parking that thing, and I had it down to a pat. And I just knew this was going to be a piece of cake. Well, when Don drove up to pick me up, I went out there and looked at the road, looked at the highway. I said, Don, where's the Comet? He says, it's in the shop. He brought me his brother's Continental Lincoln. And that sucker's two blocks long. And he wanted me to parallel park that thing. He said, Steve, it's got power steering. I wouldn't care what kind of power it had. I knew it was going to be a challenge to get into that little parking space. Well, did fine on a test. The road test was fine. But then the guy got out with his clipboard and he shut the door. Then he did something which I thought was not real smart. But he stood in between the parallel parking spaces. And he stood right there with his clipboard. And I guess he was going to see how close I was going to come to the curb. Well, when I pulled that thing to back up and I pulled in the parking space, I heard this, ow! And I looked up and he's holding his foot like this with his clipboard. And I had run over his foot. And I rolled down the window and I said, did I pass? I can't share with you his exact words to me at that time. But I knew that my anticipation was not going to be fulfilled that day. You see, beloved, we are anticipating the birth of our Savior. We are anticipating some wonderful things happening. We're in that sacred season where we can look forward to the good things happening in this world. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, in his letter he wrote to them, Paul, as you know, did numerous missionary journeys across the known world at that time, and he had found himself in this little town, this little city. Now, you have to try to understand where Paul was coming from. There was no Bible back then. So the only word of the gospel was by word of mouth. Now, they would begin to write things down, but for right now, all they had was what Paul was telling them. And he's saying, I've come to give you some good news. Well, the Galatians were a people that had two cultures on top of each other. One of them was a culture of idolatry. If you'd walk down their city at that time, you would see an idol just about on every corner, a stone or wood or whatever. And they were idol worshipers. They were pagan worshipers. This is what they grew up with. The same way you and I grew up with parallel parking. It was a normal thing for them. And then on top of that, they were, being of the Jewish world, they had to follow the 600 plus rules of the Jewish laws. Now, keep in mind, they had grown up into this culture where they had to follow these rigid laws, and then they had to worship these idols, which had no connection to them at all, except this is what they did. And here Paul comes in and said, let me tell you about a new God. Let me tell you about the God, the God of God, the King of Kings. This God loves you. This God loves you. And he is here for you. And that's why they call him a personal Savior. Let me tell you about the good news of Jesus Christ. So Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians, and he told them, but the fruit of the Spirit of Christ is joy, love, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and its desires. And since we live now by the Spirit of Christ, let us keep in step with that Spirit and bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This was new to these people. They had no idea what was happening, but they found such joy in the fact that this God could love them. That this God, this new God they knew and heard about, was somebody personal to them. And they called him the Christ, a personal Savior. And this was wonderful. They got all excited about this. But they had to fight against this ongoing culture that had been part of their lives the whole time that they were living. And while they were inspired by Paul's news, they were still part of pagan worshipers. And they still had to follow the laws of the Jewish religion. And this is something they struggled with. Idols. Let me ask you this question. What are your idols today? What do you hold importance in your life? The world tells us about the world of power and greed and arrogance and rage and anger. These are the idols that we worship today. And Paul was telling the Galatians thousands of years ago, let me tell you about this wonderful story by the name of Jesus and how much he loves you. And this was a personal connection to God that they had never experienced before. They could not understand that this was something new that meant something to them. And they began to comprehend for the first time the Spirit of Christ that Paul was trying to tell them about. As you might try to understand, Paul was desperate to try to get this point across to this pagan society. But once they got a hold of it, once they began to grasp it, their lives began to change. They looked at life from a different perspective. They began to look at others through love and compassion, as Paul wrote in his letter, and respectability. And this was something new to them. It was something new to the world. And then Paul even went on further in his letter and he said, let me tell you this. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek or slave or male or female, we are all one in Christ. A universal acceptance by God, and did not matter where you came from. And the Jews, the religious leaders, struggled with this because they had a political and religious hierarchy that people were in line. And if you were down here, you don't ever expect to get up here. And I remember the night that Jesus died and that veil of Holy of Holies separated between the religious leaders and the common people was torn in half. That God had now opened up this whole world to him for all humanity, to all who would bring him into their hearts, into their lives. You see, beloved, the candle of hope and peace and joy. Next week will be love. They're all surrounded by what? the Christ candle. You see how it's all connected? And they could not understand this God that was actually become personal to them. That we could actually hope and love and have joy and peace. And this is what God was bringing to them. And it all began to make sense to them. And they ate this up. They ate the gospel news up and they were so excited about it. But you can imagine the Jewish religious leaders of that day was very angry because now they were pushed aside and this new gospel took hold of their lives because it was about a personal living Savior and not about following hundreds of laws. And he was telling them, you are saved by grace. This is a gift that God has given you. From his love, he has given you the grace of salvation. And you cannot earn it. I don't care how many rules you follow, how many good deeds you would do. It doesn't matter. That your salvation is given to you by grace, by Christ himself. Because you are important to him. It's a personal relationship that these people have been seeking and now they have it. When we come to the term, the joy, the pink candle that Dale and Tom lit for us this morning. If we were to break it down and we ask, what is joy exactly? It's a spiritual discipline of obedience. Now, as a teenager, as a young adult, I struggled with the word obedience. And Doris still seems to think I'm not as obedient as I should be. That I should follow her suggestions more often. And I do. But I struggled with that word obedience because I felt like it was like some kind of king looking down at me saying, you have to do this because I'm the king and I told you to do it and that's what you got to do. That's how I look at obedience. And I come to realize that, hey, obedience is woven within the fabric of love. You know, when your parents told you don't play with matches, they didn't do it to be mean to you. They did it so you wouldn't burn down the house like my brother did. Yes, he was about 40. He took matches and he was playing with the matches and he loaded and he got a curtain caught on fire. But it was across the street. She ran over here and picked him up. The other curtain caught on fire before he could get out, before the fire department could get there. The house burned down. Don't play with matches. There's a reason. Listen to your Lord. There's a reason. Listen to his love in the scriptures. There's a reason. For God so loved this world that he gave us his son. That whoever believeth on him will not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world. But the world through him might be saved. That's strong stuff. But I've come to realize in my time with you as a pastor and then as my Christian discipleship moves me forward, I've come to understand that the purpose of obedience is done strictly out of one cause, and that's because God loves us. See, thousands of years ago when God gave us the Ten Commandments, when you read through that, it just says two things. Love God and love each other. Respect God, respect each other. It is simple and as profound as that. And then Jesus comes thousands of years later. And he says, let me make it to you even more simple than that. You love God and you love me. You love my Father in heaven, and you love me. And all these things will be added to you. Hope, peace, joy, and love. In spite of whatever the world may throw at you, no matter what chaos we get ourselves involved in, there is light at the end of the tunnel because Christ is standing there with his arms wide open saying, come unto me, my child. Tragically, however, we have watched a lot of good people get caught up in this chaos, get caught up in this thirst for power and for greed, and they forget about their calling. I have a beloved pastor I knew back when I was younger, and we named our second son after him. He was a former Green Beret and a minister, and his compassion for people was so real from the pulpit and in life. He was spending a lot of time with our young family at that time. And when we finally moved away to come to Hickory, I met him years later in a professional meeting. He had left the ministry and was teaching world history at some high school. He had numerous relationships and affairs. He began to take in the drink. And I kept thinking, how could someone who I believe so close to God could allow themselves to get swept away in the chaos of the world? I heard a TV evangelist the other day, one of the wealthiest ministers in our nation, talk about when God comes back, he's not going to come back on a cloud. He's going to come back in a Mercedes. How could somebody get so perverted? Because they got so wrapped up in the things of the world that they have forgotten, they have lost direction with their faith. And I pray it does not happen to you and me. Our discipleship calls for humility and servanthood. That's what our lives are all about. That's what our mission is all about. That's what we should be all about. Understanding the season of joy, hope, love, and peace, all surrounded with the love of our Creator. So as we turn toward the Advent season, to anticipation of the birth of our Savior, let me redefine you these four components again of the Advent culture. Jeremiah 29:11, we read this. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you hope for your future. Romans 5:1-2, we read this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, we have also obtained access to our faith and to his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God himself. In 2 Corinthians 7:4, Paul wrote, and I am acting with great boldness towards you. I have great pride in you. I am filled with comfort. In all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. And then he wrote one of his last letters in 1 Corinthians. He wrote this thing called love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, nor does it boast. It is not arrogant. It is not rude. It does not always insist on its own way. It is not irritable and it is not resentment. It does not rejoice in the wrong of life, but rejoices in the right of life. And Paul closed it out this way. My beloved, God's love bears all things. God's love believes all things. God's love hopes all things. God's love will endure all things. And now these three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
We're going to close with number 239, Silent Night, Holy Night, verses 1, 2, and 4. You'll stand with me as we sing.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds wake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosting, alleluia. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing, alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Be okay if we have stars coming up. No prayer. Stars. Anybody that wants to join us here at the altar, please come up. Heavenly Father, you don't know what the future holds, but we know that you are the one that holds the future. We take this moment, Lord Jesus, to lift up Steve and Doris in their time of distress. Lord, we pray that you would send them the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the peace that surpasses all human understanding as they face the unknown. Let them face it with courage because you are there with them. Let them face it with courage because you are lighting their pathway. Let them face it with courage because you've got their back. You're walking beside them, leading the way. Church, thanks you, Lord, for sending us Steve and Doris, for sharing your holy word, the words that we just heard, love, joy, peace. Let them surround us in this church and be a guide to our path. We'll give you the praise and the honor and glory. We'll trust in you to guide us through not only the good times, but the troublesome times. Lead and direct our path. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.